Well, Christmas is such a busy time, isn't it? Started weeks ago, I'm sure, for most of you. There's the cards on there, cards to buy, to find last year's list to see who you've got to send them to this year, to write them, then to buy some more because you realise you haven't bought enough. Get the stamps, queue, you have to queue for stamps now, that's terrible, isn't it? And then post them, of course, so busy. Then there's the shopping, all the pressure. You've got the choice of Black Friday, Cyber Monday, or Panic Saturday, or if you're like me, Christmas Eve. I mean, what's wrong with that? There's the gifts themselves. You've got to think about what to buy for people. You've got to buy them. You've got to wrap them. Then there's the tree. You either buy one or you climb up into the loft and dust off last year's. Then you've got to untangle the lights, make sure they're working, dress the tree. Decorations for the rest of the house, increasingly not just inside, but outside as well. Then there's the food. Got to plan it. Got to buy it. Got to prepare it. Big decision. Sprouts. Do you put a cross in the bottom or not? Apparently there's a big debate on TV about whether you do or you don't. And this is all Jan. You know, I just sit down and watch you do it. It's amazing. My job's the TV planning, so we buy the Radio Times and a highlighter, and I pick all the things that we should watch over Christmas. Well, add on to that, walking from Nazareth to Bethlehem, 60 to 70 miles or so over 3 or 4 days. The little donkey, the dusty road, the stress of not finding any accommodation, the stress of having a baby, the stress of the visitors cramming themselves into the stable, and you get some idea of just how busy Mary was. And yet, you know, as we've listened to the story, as we've watched that Social Network Christmas, there's just a sense, isn't there, about Mary, that there's a calmness about her. When the angel came to her and said, Mary, you're going to have a baby, you know, she didn't sort of throw her toys out the pram, did she? It was a sort of a, well, I'm the Lord's servant, let it be to me as he says. And here, as we had in our last reading, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Can you imagine her there? There's cattle lowing, babies awake, swift are winging, angels singing, Noel's ringing. And Mary has this moment to treasure all these things and ponder them in her heart. All is calm, all is bright, treasuring, pondering. I guess adding it all up, all these events of these last few months. It started over a year ago, didn't it, really? Elizabeth, her old relative, thought barren all those years, becomes pregnant. And Zechariah, her husband, has this story to tell of an angel appearing to him in the temple. And everyone rejoices with them. And then that day comes when an angel appears to Mary. 1 minute she's sweeping the floor and minding her own business. Next minute the angel comes and tells her, Mary, you've been chosen by God, you're favoured by him. And the child you'll have is the Son of the Most High and the Son of God. Next moment, there's a tingle down her spine. Next moment, there's two blue stripes on her pregnancy kit. The next moment, she's explaining to Joseph what's going on. And then in the next weeks, that trip to Elizabeth. And all that she said about her being blessed and chosen of God, about the baby being a special baby. It's been such a whirl of excitement. And yet, can you imagine the doubt and the wonder and the uncertainty and the excitement that's all been going on? And it's these things that she treasures in her heart and ponders. But you may well have been thinking a bit more widely as well. You know, the timing, perfect timing of it all. All the scriptures she's been catching up on in these months of pregnancy. A virgin will give birth, the prophets say. He will be called Emmanuel, God with us. This will be an amazing child. There's so much that points to what Mary's experiencing just now. But there's one thing that doesn't fit. The Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem, one of the prophets say. Well, there's something wrong there because Joseph and Mary live in Nazareth. We'd never go to Bethlehem. How's that going to happen? And of course, Joseph then gets a letter from the Inland Revenue Census for tax purposes. And guess what? They have to go to the town of their family line. And that town is Bethlehem. And the date they have to be there is around the time that the baby is due. And as she treasures this and ponders this in her heart, she has a sense that there's a big hand working behind the scenes, arranging things. Prophecies from centuries before, climaxing now. Angel visitations from the Lord. Even government decrees are all in the hands of God and his perfect timing. As Paul would write some 50 years or so later, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of children of God. And then, of course, the shepherds arrive, and there's their story. Shouldn't normally, of course, have a lot to do with shepherds, but these guys had just sort of bowled into the place where they had laid the baby. All agog. And then they saw the baby and they dropped to their knees in awe and worship. And they blurted out this story about how they'd been sat around the fire, just guarding their sheep, and an angel had appeared to them and told them some good news. And then the sky was full of a heavenly host singing. And the angel had been quite specific in the words about the baby, and the shepherds had memorized them. The good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And then the angel told the shepherds, go see for yourselves. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And here they are, as large as life, kneeling at my baby's feet. Mary ponders and treasures these things in her heart. And there's just still so much to ponder, isn't there? This baby, we'll call him Jesus. That's his name. That's the name that the angel who spoke to Joseph said to call him. Call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means, to save. God will save. And it ties in with what the angel said to the shepherds. A Saviour has been born to you. The scholars had long said that scriptures had promised that God would one day send his servant to deal with our sins once and for all. Could it be? Could it be this baby? Is that one that God was going to send? And then the shepherd said, he's the Christ, the Messiah. This baby, my baby, thinks Mary, God's anointed one, the long-awaited Messiah, the suffering servant. Just a minute, doesn't it say that this baby, this child, this son of God, this Messiah will one day suffer? Oh, let's not think about that now. He will be Christ the Lord. The name used for God himself. This child, this baby at my breast, true God of true God, light of light eternal, Son of God, Son of the Most High, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, who will save his people from their sins. And with awe and wonder and joy and fear, Mary cuddles and feeds this totally dependent on her Son of God. Wow. this season of Advent, we've been thinking about God coming to us in all those different ways. Well, come. And Mary rejoices and ponders on these things. And yet it's odd, isn't it? In a manger, not a cot. In a stable, or a cave, maybe. Not a palace. Shepherds kneeling at his feast, not courtiers, servants. I mean, what on earth is God playing at, for heaven's sake? Once upon a time, there was a royal prince. And before he became king, he wanted to get to know people, to understand how the common people lived their lives. And so on a regular basis, he would travel to the village just down from the palace where he lived, desperate to meet and greet just ordinary people in the village. And yet as he walked down in his crown and in his robe, the people would back off and they'd bow and they'd scrape. And it would be fear that met him, not friendship. And the prince, sadly, would go home to his palace and hang up his crown and robe, disappointed that again he'd not been able to meet with the people. One day a stranger came to the village. He had just one bag with him, all his worldly goods in that bag. He found somewhere to live in the poorest part of the village and soon made himself useful, fixing this and mending that, helping here and helping there, all in return for a bit of food just to tide him over. Before long, the stranger had become embedded in village life. He was known to everyone. He became one of them, and everyone loved him. One day, some people called round at the room where the stranger lived. He was out, but inside they found his bag containing all his worldly goods, and peeking out from the top, they saw a crown and a robe. It was this stunning realization that the crown prince had laid aside his majesty, had made his dwelling among them, and had lived as one of them. Now he knew them. Now he knew what life was like for ordinary people, with all its ups and downs, all its joys and sorrows. Now he knew that he could represent people in the future. It's an amazing story, but probably not true. Jesus, however, his story is true and is even more amazing. The Son of God, yet a dependent baby. Human, yet divine. Who lived as one of us, yet died for all of us. Wow. The last verse of the last reading we had said that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They glorified and praised God. And really, that's the message for us this Christmas season. In all the familiarity of all the readings and all the carols and everything else, that we might glorify and praise God for his coming amongst us as a baby. We're going to sing our next carol, Angels from the Realms of Glory, and then Steve and Carol, appropriately, are coming to lead us in prayer.